I'm Cape.
And I'm Drew.
We're just two former student athletes who understand the game.
Not just on the court.
But in life.
At the end of the day, we just want to help.
Today's athletes and former just trying to find their way.
It's bigger than sports.
This is the Cape and Drew podcast. The real TikTok. What's going on, everybody? I'm Cape.
I'm Drew.
All right. This is episode, what are we on? Episode three. And by now, I'm sure everybody in the world has heard or have seen the devastating news of Mr. Kobe Bean Bryant. And, so it was only right that, you know, we had a show to talk about what he means to us and just our thoughts about everything that's been going on. And, you know, about Gigi Bryant and the other seven passengers that crash just a few days ago. So this is what this whole show is about. It's about Kobe Bean Bryant. And,
dear Kobe.
dear Kobe, this is what this whole episode is about. So we just wanted to both just kind of start the show off with kind of how we, you know, where we were when we first got the news this has happened. And I know for me, I was at a community meeting last Sunday when I got the news, and you know, my phone started blowing up. I remember you was one of the first persons to text me, and you was like Kobe Bryant died, and I was like, what?
The crazy thing was, right, somebody put in one of my group chats, right, a link to an article like about him passing in a helicopter crash, right? Mm-hmm. And immediately I got mad. I was like, yo, man, people play too much, man. That's not even funny.
Right.
And I started like immediately Googling it, right? Boom. I'm looking at everything. Da 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 da. And I'm like, hold up.
Right.
The crazy thing was, like, I didn't know like who to even call or text. I just thought about you. I was like, yo. And to sum it up in a feeling, it's kind of like in Boys in the Hood when Trey gets like pulled over and he goes over to his girl's crib and he's just mad and he's swinging at the air.
Yeah,
that's how I felt, man. I was just mad because I didn't believe it at the time. I didn't want to believe it.
Yeah, and when stuff like that happens, like especially to like somebody like him who is this like giant figure. Somebody who's, like you said, has always come back from injuries, or, you know, it's not like one of those things. You don't expect anything like that to happen to anybody. But when it happens to a giant like that, somebody who's been like basically unbreakable, you start thinking like, yo, this happened to Kobe. Like, this could happen to anybody. Go ahead.
I just felt like my insides got ripped out real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a feeling of like, I was like, man, no, because my wife, she texted me and she was like, babe, like right after you did. And I said, because she knows, she knows. And my other group text started booming, started going crazy. And we was like, and I didn't comment on it because I was kind of like, you, I'm like, yo, y'all stop playing.
This is not funny, right?
This is not funny, yo, stop tripping. So then Meg texted me, like I said, and she was like, man, I said, man, please tell me this isn't true. And she was like, I'm sorry. And then I'm like, yo, I'm at this community meet. I'm getting ready to go up and speak at this community meet. And I just lose all enthusiasm to go up there. And then, you know, of course, you start Google searching and you're like, oh, man, your phone is getting lit up with everything. And the speculation of who was on the helicopter with him, like was the family going somewhere? So all these thoughts, I still don't believe it, to be honest with you.
It's still hard to believe, and this is how crazy it is, right? I couldn't turn away from like CNN and them talking about it, and mind you, they're like keep repeating, and the more and more like the night went on, it really just dawned on me, like, this wasn't one of those at the ticker, like, hey, Kobe Bryant suffered a season-ending injury, right? It was like, yo, he's gone. Like, he's not coming back. And I felt, honestly, man, I felt, like, embarrassed because this is a guy I've never seen. I don't know him. Never seen him play in person. But I felt like I lost somebody close to me. Yeah. And all I could do, we've both been around for people who like passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so we remember when Michael Jackson passed. I remember when one of the Kennedy, one of the Kennedys, like he died on like a tragic skiing accident. And it still didn't really kind of hit me like this Kobe thing did. And so that's why I felt so weird. Like, yo, I can't be on social media right now because I'm seeing all these posts and each one looks sadder and sadder. And yes. I'm feeling embarrassed because my eyes are watering up looking at it. And I feel like my wife's looking at me like, why are you, like, she didn't say that, but I just felt like, are you really about to cry? But she was all like, you know, that's really sad. But I just felt like as a guy, you know, I mean, you can't cry over another guy you don't even know.
Shit, I cried. I sat there boo-hooed because I came home after my meeting. And I sat there and I was just like, I was watching everything unfold on TV. And I did. And, you know, one thing that I'm like you, man, I had to like chill on what I didn't watch basketball all week this week. I would turn to it and then I'd in and out of the game just because of all the, you know, the tributes, the talks. And I mean, everybody got their way of dealing with it. And I just when you feel like you're getting over it, you know, they're talking about it. And I know they're going to talk about it for the rest of the season, pretty much probably for the rest of our lives, they're going to talk about it. But they kept showing that one clip of him and Gigi sideline. And it's when Kobe's talking to Gigi and it's like he's explaining something about the intricacies of the game. And it's like she has a moment like, oh, like she finishes his sentence and he gives her this look like, yes, and exactly.
And then you start a process, yo, his little girl died. And now, right? And now, you know, black men, we're not supposed to show this emotion, right? Mm-hmm. I start feeling like just like almost like crumbling inside because I'm thinking, man, what if this is my last day with Daniel, right?
Right.
And it just, it's weird. It's kind of funny, kind of crazy. You know, my son, he's 5 now. He's getting to that age where, like, you know, he still wants to lay on you and sit on you, right? But he's getting bigger. And so he might lay on you, crawl on you, but he's so bony, it'll kind of hurt you a little bit. And so he did that. And I saw a Kobe highlight come on. And I was like, man, just come on, man. I'll just eat this pain. it's just weird because I was like, man, all I kept thinking about was that courtside play, like him and Gigi, like, man, this is crazy.
Yeah, man. And, you know, as sad as it is, like, I mean, I'm, like I said, I think everybody is handling this, you know, in their own ways. And, you know, that feeling of it, like it's like 5 days now since it happened. And I think it's sitting in with us. I don't know about you. It's sitting in with me. It's like getting better and better every day. Like, you know, this dude is gone. But then you start thinking about like his legacy though. Like, you know, whether you hooped or not, whether you play sports or not, what he meant and his drive towards excellence and his work ethic. I mean, you can apply that to any facet. Well, you could be a painter. You could be an architect. You could be graphic designer. You could be whatever. But that Mamba mentality, that mindset to just overachieve is like, that's his legacy, man.
Oh, think about how many times like we've had conversations, right? And just in casual conversations, we'd be like, shh, got to, man. Mamba baby,
Mamba mentality. Yeah.
And we know exactly what we're talking about. Just that, like, yo, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And you're not going to outwork me for this. And that's kind of like it was like became his thing. Like, you know, you can't help but to listen and watch, you know, SportsCenter and all this other stuff going on. You just you hear how hard he worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the craziest story, right? Your NBA camp. Kobe was there. That's before we, you know, started working the camp. I was talking to a camp counselor, and I was like, man, how many guys have you seen come through this camp? He was like, man, Kobe. Kobe. And I was like, well, tell me, what's your best Kobe story? He was like, man, Kobe was here And he would come here before camp even started and would work out, have like a full sweat going. And I was just like, that's crazy. Only thing that seemed natural was hugging my son and wife.
And so was this when he was like 16 or 17, I'm assuming?
Yeah, this is when he was in high school.
And he was there before everybody else. But yeah. It's funny, he kept that same work ethic throughout his whole career. And to know that he had that in high school, that young of an age, is surprising. But then you think about how he kept that work ethic for the rest of his career. And I think like you think about when he first came into the league, and one of the things that stood out to me was when he first came in the league, you know, even when he announced he was going to the NBA, he had like the shades on his head. He had the Oakley shades on or whatever they wear with the suit on. He made his announcement at his high school. And I'm thinking, even at a young age, I was like, man, this dude cocky, man. Who this dude think he is, man? Like, he about to come in here. I mean, he was 17, but walking around the draft, walking around like he owned the joint. And that rubbed me the wrong way as a young dude. But I know them NBA guys was looking like, who this dude think he is? But I will say, and this is what a lot of people have been saying that I have caught saying, that just as they talk about him, like he came in like that because it was almost like he knew. He was like, I'm finna take over. It's just a matter of time. So I'm coming in like this because it's about to be reality.
I think like one thing me and you can always appreciate, right, is we like hearing guys tell, like, you know what I'm saying, those stories that everybody may not know, right? Like, you know, try to be little historians of the game. And so one of our favorite commentators, Tim Legler, he was talking about his first Kobe encounter, and he said that, you know, he had been playing in the pros. He was back home at this high school gym, and guys were playing pickup. And he said Kobe was out there, and he was all like, yo, who's this guy right here? He was all like, I thought he was a college guy that maybe I just didn't know about. And they were like, no, that kid's 15. That's Kobe Bryant.
15.
And 15, he was like, oh. And he was like, even then you could see, you know, he had that look like he belonged. Yeah. And so that's one of those things, man, like as you know, love basketball, hearing those stories, you love hearing stories like that. Like, oh, that's
yes, crazy. Dog. And I tell you, man, hey, the bottom line is some of my favorite stories of Kobe, though, is like, so this generation, we were just really just talking about. So this generation knows about, let's say, 2005. To about 2000, you know, when Kobe retired. So, like, the last 10, 11 years of his career, for us, we know baby Fro Kobe, right?
Man, Fro Kobe, and we was like, he was the August Alcina cut before the August Alcina cut, right?
With the sharp edge up Fro.
Yeah, like, who had the nappy Fro, right? Like, and we were, at the time, we were like, yo, what is he doing? But the more and more he killed, the cooler and cooler it looked.
And he had the crispy edge every time you saw
him. It was like, and you start seeing stuff like this, like, yo, them Adidas looking more and more sweet. And you're like, because we never really rocked Adidas until.
Right. It was all Nike all the time.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, too, we always talk about, like, you know, our best Kobe moments, right? For me, man, it was one of those, I think he came down, it was a highlight, and he went behind his back, reversed it, and still dunked on the dude.
Yes, against Denver, and, yes.
Yeah, and he had, like, the broke hand thing going on. He had, like, a little soft cast on his hand. So, you got that moment. And I always think when he really started getting into his bag, when he did this move all the time, it was baseline, but he would windmill. On the other side. And I can remember we would call each other and be like, yo, did Kobe just windmill on him in traffic?
On the reverse side. He did that against New York and he did it against Minnesota. And it was like in traffic. It was not like on a break. It was like his little double jab, whatever baseline and sweep through and just reverse that joint. And we never seen nothing like that. I mean, it was crazy. For me, Lo, I take it back. Do you remember preseason, his second year in the NBA, when he crossed over Buddy at the top? It was preseason game. It was at UNLV. Mm-hmm. And he crossed Buddy up with the AI cross. and he went through the lane and dunked on Ben Wallace when Ben Wallace played with the Wizards, I want to say, and like lane.
I didn't appreciate, nor did I don't think I saw that highlight until like months later. Until you saw like his highlight reels, and you were like, "Yo, what? When was this?"
Right, like you thought, and again. See, what you call it? What was the GM name? My man, Jerry West. After Kobe's rookie year, because Jerry West drafted him. He made the trade to get Kobe and all that. You know, everybody knows how the story goes. But here's the part that people forget. They traded Eddie Jones and somebody else to Miami because they were like, man, we gotta make Kobe a starter. Like he's a starter after his head. So they started him the second year, and everybody thought he was crazy for trading Eddie Jones, but he saw the potential. He saw star potential. And so when Kobe got his real chance to hoop out his sophomore year, I think he averaged like 15 or 16, maybe even 18. I'm not even sure off the top of my head, but that's to me when he started, like once he, because they said he worked all summer after he missed those three pointers against Utah. That same night, they said he went to a high school gym somewhere and just shot all night. I mean, the stories are endless, man. But, you know, we was talking about the crazy eight shoes he played in. But, dog, you remember when they played against the Pacers? This is another story. We ain't going in no order, but we played the Pacers in the finals, and Shaq went down. Yep. And Kobe gave him the like talk, like, yo, I got it, big dog.
I got it. And that was like, oh, he's not like he's not the guy like, hey man, if Kobe shows up tonight, we got a chance. Like he's the guy, dog.
He's the guy.
And I remember that, man, because I was like, I really remember that. Cause I was thinking like, yo, the Pacers about to beat the Lakers.
I know.
And this is what like Not to backtrack, but this is what's so crazy about Kobe. When we came up, Jordan was already Jordan.
Right.
We didn't come up with him battling the Pistons. Like he was the guy. He was Wheaties. He was, you know,
Gatorade, McDonald's. Kick. Yeah.
So, but with Kobe, we got to see all of that growth. Like just to be like, yo, he's like, I feel like I could do that, but I'm not like as good as him. But like, yo, he's cool. Like for instance, he took Brandy to prom. And we were just like, why? I mean, I remember we would talk about stuff like this at like VCU, be like, yo, he did that. And then him being on Moesha, right?
Yes. And I'm
like, yo, he's the guy.
He is the guy. And I mean, he's a handsome guy. he was a killer on the court. He had charisma. I'm gonna tell you another time where it was 1998, his first All-Star game. It was MJ Penny, because remember they always matched him and MJ up because you know everybody at this point could see. So it was MJ played in that game. Penny, Grant Hill, Grant Hill was my guy too. Gary Payton, Carmelo, those guys, and him and Kobe was MJ and Kobe was like going at it, right? And I think Kobe had like 18 and 6. He only played like 22 minutes. And I remember there's a play where Kevin Garnett threw a oop to Kobe. And it's no way the average person is, the average NBA guy is not catching this lob. Man, Kobe is a bad pass. Kevin Garnett threw it like behind him. And Kobe like flexed his body in the air, went back and caught it. And boom, that joint.
I remember that, man. It seems like I could just close my eyes and see that. Like,
dog, my father used to buy me VHS tapes, and I've taped every All-Star game. And I remember watching that game, like, I probably thousands of times. And because that's the same game when he faked the behind-the-back joint in traffic.
Yep.
Man, that dude was, and you know, his game was built for the All-Star game.
Yep. And this is off topic, but this is gonna go to the bottom of the ocean, right? You know how sometimes something might happen to you in life, and you kind of just look up to the sky, right? And you give that like you kiss your lips two times, like, "Hey, man, you was looking out, man, for the man upstairs. I appreciate that." So we had that Kobe thing happen to us, happened to everybody. We was feeling like just weird all week, And so I go to this conference, and I'm just checking into my hotel. Nothing crazy. I'm just, you know, about to get my stuff together. And I see, like, this guy with a Memphis t-shirt on. And I'm thinking, like, okay, he's a Memphis. That's cool. But then I start seeing, like, yo, he looks like an equipment manager. And when I think about, like, Kobe, I think about the next guy that we used to idolize was, like, Penny Hardaway.
Yes.
And so, lo and behold, I see Penny Hardaway walking out, like, the little back restaurant. And I ain't even get to talk to him. I ain't get no picture with him. But it was just like, I honestly, man, I looked and I was like, man, I told my wife that. I was like, yo, I needed that. like it just, it really helped soothe everything, because it was like, we used to idolize Penny. And so it just, I really like looked up and I was like, man, like, thank you, because that really helped kind of like smooth things
over. Yeah, because we never saw Kobe play in person. And I literally, this is no lie, this ain't just for the pod. I literally was telling my wife, I don't know what we were talking about last week before Kobe passed. I said, man, one of my biggest regrets is not ever going to see Kobe play. And I said, I know he was on the West Coast for 20 years, but I was like, even at times when they played in Charlotte, you know what I'm saying? Or if they played like the Wizards, that was a drive to DC. I said, man, I could have made the effort to go see that man. And I never knowing after MJ, it was Kobe. That was it. There was no in between.
Still one of my biggest like things I'm happy about is like seeing LeBron.
Yeah,
in
me too. Yeah.
And it's like, hey man, he's worth that. He was, and we think too, like, you know, never seeing Kobe play, it's different when you see him in person. And like we always say too about Kobe, that's one of the things we appreciated, like Kobe knew his status and he knew people were coming to see him, and he was going to make sure that you got your money's worth. And we always talk about like, man, I don't care if you go 2 for 20. I'm trying to see you put the effort in, right? And we knew Kobe was going to give us
the effort. He was going to give us the effort, man. And I mean, there was a time in his career where he averaged like 40 points a game, man, for a month straight. And then, of course, like his 81-point game, right? I mean, the stories, the list go on and on. But, like, what you're saying is, like, you knew this dude was going to – you think about how hard – you think about high school, like our prime days. You remember it was easy. Like, what you averaged, like 22 your senior year? I think I was like 18 my senior year. Probably could have averaged more, whatever. But you think about but the level of play when we were playing, we knew we were the guy. Like it was that nobody else was on our level, not every night, not even close. This dude was killing for a decade and a half, basically.
And I still think that's really we really underappreciated Kobe in that
we
time.
Did, man. We did. We did.
We really underappreciate that 81, like. And I'm going to tell you something so funny, man. I'm listening to Jalen Rose talk, and this was after, you know, Kobe Bryant passed, and he was all like, man, when you look at that, you go back and you look at that 81, there were no highlights in that.
But it was just jumpers. Like, it was jumpers, yeah.
Yeah, he was boom, 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 boom. He wasn't talking. He wasn't all rah-rah. He was just getting the job done. And it's like, dang, 81.
81, dog. I still remember where I was at. I was coming back from a tutor session in college, 2006, and I saw something pop up on my phone, and I'm like, or something like the ESPN ticker. I thought it was a mistake. I thought I was like, nah, man, that's somebody. It's supposed to be 18. It ain't 81.
Yep.
81, dog.
80.
And they were losing the game. They needed the 81.
I think I just listened back to like of Jalen talking about it, and he was like, "Man, you talked to Kobe after he wasn't like bragging or boasting. He was all like, that's what they needed. They needed for me to do that." Yeah. And that's why I be feeling like we underappreciated Kobe, because think about your first thought, you know, say after you realize it was 81, you'd be like, "Dang, he be shooting a lot, right?" And because he had been painted up like that. Bad teammate that's going to shoot bad shots. He's going to shoot it all the time. And it's like, now I look back on it, man, I feel bad. Like, man, I wish I would never looked at Kobe.
I
like
know, because I used to look, I did used to look at him the same way, especially when Shaq got up out of there. I was like, man, see, If he had been a better teammate, him and Shaq would have been rolling. Yep. They could have won some more chips. Blase, blase. But, man, the dude, I saw something the other night. But like I said, I was trying to stay away from watching that, but they did a special on TNT about him. And Derek Fisher was telling the story about how they were in film session. And, like, Kobe was taking bad shots. And, like Phil Jackson was like, yo, man, like, Kobe, look, you taking 105, whatever. And he was like, Kobe was like, well, to be honest with you, coach, I feel like I got a better chance of making it than passing it to one of my teammates. He said that in a team And so he said Derek Fisher was like, Rick Fox gets up and was like, man, how you going to say that, like, in front of us? Like, how you feeling? Like, and this is like his third or fourth year in the league. I mean, this ain't like he was 2020.
Yeah.
And so he got pissed and he said, Kobe was like, hey, Rick, man, this is just how I feel, man. I don't know why you get so upset. Like, this is how I feel. And that was it. It was like he was as arrogant as that might sound and whatever. Like, it goes back to his work. Like, mm-hmm. he put in the work to a point where everybody had to kind of, like, either, like, shut up, bow down, or whatever. Because how can you question somebody that literally, and I'm going to get to this here in a little bit, he talked about how he would work out at like 2, 3 a.m., go back home, he would train. He calls it training. He would train 2, 3 a.m., go back to the crib, wake up at 6, go train again, go chill, get some breakfast or whatever, come back at like 10, lift, go back, whatever, and then go back and get more shots up. So he's worked out 4 times in a day. So he's, man, like, how you going to be better than me, man? It's no way.
it's a soft topic, man. It's a sensitive topic. So we might go, you know, we might just jump from something to something, mm-hmm. right? But I'm going to tell you what, man, what really kind of hurts me the most about Kobe's passing, he dedicated so much of his life to his craft, right? And then to see him, like, transition to life after sports, we kind of felt like life was just starting. And so, you know, he was 41, but we felt like, yo, man, you dedicated so much, right? Now you really get to, like, enjoy life. And we kind of felt like, yo, no. Like that's what really kind of hurt.
Yes, man. Because he was the people's champ. I mean, those clips when they show him and Gigi walking in the Staples or walking in Brooklyn, I think he went to a Brooklyn or a Knicks game. He is literally a walking Rocky Balboa type. Like, he is the people's champ, yo.
Think about this, right? How cool do you feel when you walking with Landon and it could just be a random person coming, like, dap you, like, yo, Dr. Cable, what's up, man? And you kind of like, yo, in front of your son, like, yo, man, feeling right. Good. So now imagine LeBron, like, dapping you up like a Don, right? Yo, big dog, what's up, big homie? Like, giving you the ultimate homage in front of your
daughter. Say, your young
You just kind of like, that's what we do it for, right?
That's why he earned the next 30, 50 years of his life through his 20 years, well, really his whole life of work ethic to, like, reap the benefits and the glory now. And, I mean, the dude was a genius, man. Spoke all these languages, you know, business savvy. I mean, he was, you talking about transitioning? Like, he was about to be, he had already won an Oscar through his creative filming and telling stories and illustrations and all of that. But this dude, and we can go ahead and talk about, like you said, we kind of all over the map right now. Things are coming to us. But just picture this, man. This is what I've been kind of telling people. Another reason why this hurts so much is, so we all know about women in sports, and the it's nowhere near fair as compared to men and what they get paid. Or just, you know, you could argue about treatment and everything. Man, I really believe the perfect storm was going to be when Gigi, who was turning into a monster, literally, if you watched the little girl, you saw her. I mean, her dad is Kobe, so she's got the gift, probably. You can kind of see it, but that same drive, determination, the little small stuff that her dad, you saw him giving her about the game, right? I have no doubt she was about to be a beast, a monster. Going, probably going to go to UConn, like they said. The perfect storm was about to be Kobe's power, resources, charisma, network. In 5 years, let's say 5 to 7 years, maybe 8 years, when him, he would be close to about 50, if not 50. Money piled up, groundwork piled up, advocacy, everything, network, everybody piled up. And now Gigi would be like 20, 21, mm-hmm. getting ready to go into, and really at UConn, if she would have went to UConn, because all the NCAA rules is about to, but would have changed by then with likeness and endorsements and all of that. The perfect storm would have been that point when Gigi is ready to go play pro basketball. And Kobe being where he is, who he is, that would have been the prime moment and time for women in sports equity to evolve and systems to really change, because that would have been the perfect storm. And now
he would have been at the forefront of that,
because what he's doing now, what he was doing was the groundwork, because he was pushing women's sports. And then he had his daughter in the game. He had skin in the game, as the old folks like to say. And it would have been the perfect situation to where I think things, if they hadn't changed by then, it would have been the perfect storm to really see some like real significant change and with systems and everything else, man.
You know how we talked about, like, you know, how, you know, we all over the place, but it's Kobe. I'm listening to this coach one time. He was like, man, if you were a coach and it was your scouting report, you wanted to make sure that you went into so much detail and you basically brought your A game, because you knew that Kobe knew everything and was going just as hard. And so if you weren't on top of your game, he would let you know.
A coach would say that.
Yeah. The fact that the coaches were scared because they knew that Kobe would hold them accountable, because he was doing that work on his end, like paying attention, doing all this stuff. And you just like, man, it's just those little nuggets and those little stories just make you appreciate Kobe so much more.
Yes, man. I mean, and it's not, and it wasn't for a season. It wasn't for 10 seasons. I mean, it was his whole life he dedicated to being the best hooper he could, man. And like I said at the beginning, you could take his story, his work ethic, his passion, and apply it. And I think that's why his reach, right? It's not only hoopers that are mourning and crying and just devastated.
Mm-hmm.
His reach is global because of what he stood for, what he meant. Even in his conversation about life, you know, as he got older, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, but as he got older, he got more open, because if you remember his first 13 years of his career, Kobe was very still, man. You know, he didn't say a lot. He was, because in his mind as a competitor, I don't want to give you too much, because you know, this is about basketball, so I ain't going to show you too much. I ain't going to do too many favors. And, you know, Derek Fisher talked about that the other night, how his, I think it was Derek Fisher, he talked about how Kobe's kids changed him and kind of softened them up, and kind of like, you know, and Vanessa's wife kind of softened him up, where he kind of started being a little bit more gentle and caring. But before that, Kobe, that's why he got a bad rap, because he was standoffish. His stories, like he wouldn't eat with his teammates and all of that. So
we used to hear stories about like Kobe, like, right, because, you know, coming to the league, he's 17. He can't do anything.
He can't go hang out.
And they kind of started to paint Kobe like a weirdo, right? Like, man, he don't really do nothing. All he do is work out. But man, now, like, you know, they say, you know, they don't give you roses until you're gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we start thinking about Kobe, like, man, this dude, he was just ahead of his time as far as his work.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he was dedicated. He was dedicated to his craft, and I mean, imagine, and you know, one of my favorite documentaries that about him was called Kobe Bryant's Muse, man. And me and you were talking about it before we did the show. Came out in 2015. It's basically the documentary is about his life, and it really goes into his final year of his season. It just hit the ups and downs of his career, and you know, there's a part in there where, you know, he remember he broke his or tore his Achilles and everybody thought his career was over. I think he was like mid-30s at the time. And, you know, who comes back from that old, and everybody was counting him out. But what did he do? He came back. You know, he came back just like mm-hmm. he always did. But one of the quotes from there that he said really stood out to me, and I actually used it in my personal statement when I applied to my doctoral program, and it just stuck with me. It stuck with me so much. He says, there's a choice that we have to make as people, as individuals. If we want to be great at something, there's a choice you have to make. We all can be masters at our craft, but you have to make a choice. What I mean by that is there are inherent sacrifices that come along with that. Family time, hanging out with friends, being a great friend, being a great son, nephew, whatever the case may be, there are sacrifices that come along with that, with making that decision. And that quote right there, man, because anybody that's been through a doctoral program knows, like, you, if you're doing it the right way for 3 years or three to however long it takes you to finish, it ain't no hanging out. It ain't no really, if you married and all that, you know, you really got to be a student. You really got to be like checked in, and you're sacrificing time because you want to go party. You want to go, your boys or your girls are planning trips and you want to go do that. But you really, you can, but there's, you know, there's potential that you're going to like that more than going to class. And that's what happens to a lot of people. So that quote really stuck out to me during that time, man. And I would watch that documentary throughout my doctoral program, and it would remind me of the good fight, like to stay in the fight, stay in the fight. So I did, man. And so that's what I'm saying. This ain't, and I wasn't hooping. I was trying to get my doctoral doctorate.
Kobe's like, we never really reference like us in the same sentence with Kobe's athletic ability, right? Like nah, nowhere near. But like one thing we always do channel in is we always like, I always be like, you know what? I'm not the smartest person, but I know when I'm in this room, like with these people, when it comes down to it, you don't want it more.
Exactly.
And really, that's all like stems from like seeing Kobe, yes. Seeing little things that he did versus, and you compare that with the stuff that you go through in your own life. And you, well, like we always say, mama mentality, man. Like, and I think of him and I think of Will Smith. Yep,
the treadmill right, joint.
Yeah, like I am willing to die for this. And I don't think you are.
That's what it boils down to.
And we always like, there's always like little quotes we always be saying mm-hmm. to each other like that. That Will Smith one or the Denzel one trained it. Man to man pimp. I don't think you got it, man.
Right? Dog.
It always comes back to Kobe.
It always does, man. It always does. It's just like when you were talking, we were talking while you was down at that conference this week. And Your whole like thing was, man, I can't wait till Friday. Like I can't wait to present. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about, you told me how you was going to put a Kobe message in there. You know, mm-hmm. matter of fact, you touch on that. Touch on how you had to put a little Kobe in there.
Dog, and this is probably one of the best Kobe things I have ever heard. Mm-hmm. It was me being a weirdo on social media. Almost like making yourself cry because you're watching all these Kobe highlights, right? You're just making yourself sad. Yeah. And I hear Kobe talk one time. He's talking about guys he mentors, and he's like, Kyrie's one of his guys. And the guy asks, you know, what's next for Kyrie? And Kobe says, you know, he has to establish an emotional connection with his teammates, right? And the guy looks at him like, okay, that's interesting. He was like, you know, I say that because I had to do that as well. And you can't do that by just, you know, passing them the ball, right? That takes you eating breakfast with them, you having lunch with them. You're finding out by talking to them what their fears are, right? And it's your job to turn those fears into their strengths. And so they can become the best version of themselves. And dog, when I heard that, I was like, boom, putting that right in the presentation as far as working with students, talking to them, having that relationship with them, building it with them. You find out what their fears are by not even asking them, hey, man, what's your fear? I'm just talking to you, and I can see where, okay, you're shy about talking about that. Okay, cool. That's a soft spot for you. I got right. you. Now, internally, I'm going to make that one of your strengths so you can overall become the best version of yourself.
Yes, man.
And when I said that today in the presentation, man, I felt like Mamba out.
Drop the mic.
Like drop the mic, yeah. Right? And it's just really like, yo, just Kobe had gems.
Yeah, gems, man. Do you remember, speaking of that, speaking of like challenging and figuring out your team's weaknesses, you remember, I think it was the last year or the year before his last year in the league, when he went to practice and basically like cussed everybody out. Like he was hooping, yep. He was killing, and he was like, yeah, y'all, every time I ain't in here, when I get out here, it's a little different, ain't it? Like, I mean, he was chastising basically these grown men, his teammates. And there's a part in the Muse documentary I was just telling you about when he gets into it with his couple of teammates, he's elbowing them, like damn near about to fight them. But what he was doing to the outside eye, you're looking like, man, what's wrong with this dude? But for one, he was the one that when he went to the practice and was cussing everybody out, acting crazy and seemingly, he was tired of losing. Like he was tired. Mm-hmm. He was looking at these dudes like y'all laughing in interviews post game. Y'all doing all this stuff outside of the court. You're not putting. I'm finna come in here. I'm gonna practice today because you know he wasn't practicing like that.
Yep, I heard this one story similar in that same year. I think it was Lou Williams who told the story. He was with the Lakers. They did something. They lost a game. He came in the locker room. He took everybody's Kobe's and threw them away. He was like, man, y'all don't deserve to wear Kobe's.
Took their shoes.
He's a grown man.
You got to respect and that, it's like, though.
What you gonna tell Kobe?
Right. What you going to do?
Yeah. And it's like, dang.
No, man.
And it's those stories that come out now. It's like, dang.
I know.
It stings a little more, hurts a little more, but it also makes you appreciate him more.
Yeah, I think, and that's where I'm at now. Is I just can't imagine. You know what we're going through as fans is nothing like what his family's going through, what his wife is going through, what his father, his mother, his sisters, and you know, I don't even want to get into whatever, because I know our grief is nowhere near what they're dealing with, what we'll deal with for the rest of their lives.
When I think about like his wife, his family, I'd be like, you know, I'm being selfish. Yeah. Like they, like, because they're as much money as Kobe has made and the life he's built for them. I don't wish on anybody. You lose your spouse and one of your child.
Like, same day. Like that's, same moment.
Yeah, like that's, you don't come back from that. That's what I've been thinking. Like, okay, man, let me take whatever I'm feeling and just try to channel that to like, yo, I hope she's all right.
Yeah, man. And I mean, then personally for me, and I know everybody's been talking about this, but I literally, and I'm not going to mention his name or really comment on it, but everybody was talking about how, you know, if you beefing with anybody or if you got some bad blood with anybody, mm-hmm. I sent a text early this week to somebody that, you know, kind of had a little whatever with, and I still don't know exactly what it is or what it was, but sometimes it be like that. And I sent a text. Mm-hmm. I hadn't received anything back, and that's okay. But, I mean, I think when anything like this happens, man, it put things in perspective again that, you know, in any moment, things could change, you know,
Jake,
whatever that might look like.
I don't know why it's in my head. I hear Ho's voice like, you don't get us dude back like that. Like, right? It's like, it's not that deep. No. Nothing is
that deep.
To where... I'm thinking about any argument I ever had or any like I don't want that. Like I don't even it ain't that deep, dog.
I mean, at the end of the day, we go around this thing one time, and it sucks that it takes this kind of tragedy to happen. And then my thing is, like, we're in this moment, we're in this Kobe and Gigi and the seven other passengers moment. This is just hits a little different where I really feel like this is long lasting, this feeling, because one, the good thing that's come out of this, it has brought the world together. Like the world, one man's death, one man's legacy and death has brought the world to a point, to a still where we're just like, yo, like whatever this is, we got whatever you got going on, you're going to hug your loved ones a little bit tighter. And we should all cherish life and just live like Kobe was always present. Like, man, life, be happy, man. Live your life to the fullest. Find your passion, find your purpose, and go all out and be happy and love. I mean, and it really should be. And that's his legacy, man. To me, basketball was his love, was his passion. But he transcended it, though. It was like he hooped, but through his hooping and dedication, like I said at the beginning, it transcended because everybody has a passion. Everybody has a gift that you, if you can just apply what Kobe's approach was to it and how he lived. I mean, that's what I take from his whole thing. As me and you are building what we're building and spreading this, whatever, I'm taking, I know we already had it. I know we do because we talked about it, but now it's even clearer now. It's like, I want to do it even more.
Yep. I be thinking too, like, because we remember Kobe coming up. We remember hearing how he was a bad teammate, how he was selfish, how Phil Jackson called him uncoachable, right? To see players say now, man, when I came into the league, the one guy's respect that I wanted to have was Kobe's. And you're like, yo, he had to do it the right way because you got guys who are like idolizing him, and you just don't do that, you know, for complete a-holes, right? Like, I don't want to get political, but I don't see nobody saying like, man, Trump's my hero.
Right. So, yeah.
And you know, Kobe had his flaws, right? Everyone has those growing moments. And I'm just thinking now about like how you got D Wade, like, man, I just Kobe, man, like, and Kyrie, that relationship he had. Yeah.
Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, a lot of these guys like Jason Tatum saying he was the reason why I wanted to play ball. Like Jordan was for us. That's what I'm saying. It's crazy. Yes.
It just really makes you put things into, you know, perspective. It's like, for me, that whole week after, nothing felt normal except being around Daniel and my wife. Like, I felt out of place everywhere I was, but with
Man, I'm with you.
And it was like, I remember, I texted my wife. She's at the grocery store, and I said, "Man, can you come home? Like, can you just come home?" Yeah. Like, I was like, "Man, Kobe just passed." And the funny thing was, after I texted that, I didn't hear nothing back for like 2-3 minutes.
You were worried.
And you start panicking, right? Like, oh my God. I call her. And she's like, "Hey, boo, what's up?" And I'm like, "Oh, man, Kobe Bryant, he's gone." And like, I'm talking to like it's a family relative, right? And so she's in the grocery store. She's like, oh, dang, this dude right here beside me just said Kobe died. And it's like kind of like, yo, it's like you just get punched in the chest. So she gets home. He's like, "Oh, babe, I just looked at your text. Are you okay?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Man, now that y'all here, I'm okay. Right. I'm right. Just come inside. Don't go nowhere else."
Yes, man. And I think any person, really, really any dude, I think we're wired to be protectors and all of that. And we try to walk around like we tough guys. But like, again, like I say, man, anytime you lose a giant like that, it hits home a little different because you idolize him. You felt like you knew him just watching in the past 20, 30 years, whatever. And if you something like that happens, you're like, man, that can happen to me. Like, and then you start thinking about his daughter being with him and then the other passengers with their daughters. And it's just like, I mean, it just hits different, man. It really does, to where, like you say, I mean, I still have like a feeling of emptiness. You know what I mean?
Emptiness.
Yeah,
right?
It's like nothing. Like, I mean, I didn't even want to work out this week. You know, I just wanted to come home right after work. I didn't really want to, like I say, watch, you know, anything on TV or social media wise, because
if you see Kobe on there, you like trying to turn it immediately, just because it's like, yo, I'm not ready.
I don't want to say goodbye. I don't want it to be real, man. And I think, you know, it's a reminder of just how precious life is, like we're saying. But I always think about a quote. I saw this on Benji. What's the joint? The 30 for 30? Was it Benji, right?
Simeon,
yeah. That 30 for 30, and his mother gave a speech, and she said, it's not how long you live, it's how you live. Mm-hmm. And I'm always reminded, even when, like, Nipsey Hussle passed, it's like, or Michael Jackson, or anybody that's been in that limelight like that, you start, you think about, because 41 is young, man. It really is. And so, you know, he lived, dog. I mean, that's, if there's one thing that we can kind of get some comfort in, is that man showed us on the biggest stage of it all how to live. You know, that's important.
This is how you know we kind of like getting up there. We like 41. That's what, like 5 or 6 years older than us, right?
Yes.
But to a college kid, you're like 41, man. Oh, right. But we look at that like, yo, 41?
Yeah.
Like, of course, Kobe, he's been in that groove for a minute just because he's been established. But we thinking, like, for us, like 41, like, we really, really starting to, like, get it, like, hit that stride of life.
Yes.
Just as far as, like, you know, you being established and you having all these things going.
Yeah.
And when I think of Kobe, I think of, okay, what other plays in history, basketball history, iconic plays, right, have been made off of passes?
Mm.
And so I'm saying that you think of Jordan passing to Kerr, passing to Paxson for those championships, right? You think about how many people know Kobe is that crossover against the Blazers.
Mm.
Comes down the lane and throws that lob to Shaq. And it's like, all you can, like, all I think about is, like, Kobe. Like, it's
crazy, man. It's almost like a movie where, like, this, it's not a real story. Like, even his career. There's no way somebody had a career that good. There's no way. There's no way somebody spoke 5, 6 different languages and, you know, this great of a basketball. He had 4 daughters and a beautiful wife. And it's almost like a fairy tale. And then the tragedy, man. And, you know, again, I want us to, for all the listeners out there and for us, man, I just, again, this dude meant so much more than just being a basketball player. I think he just used his gift and his talent to show everybody and inspire everybody to really find their passion and live the best life they possibly could. And that is that man's legacy. You know, whether they switch the logo or not, we all know what that man's legacy is. And sometimes, you know, some people are just going to be with us for a short period of time, but while they're here, they have the impact of living 100 or 200 years, because he will live forever. No Man. Question about it.
This hurts me, but it makes me appreciate him too as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing this commentator talk one time, like, you know, Kobe, he knew that transition was coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he adjusted flawlessly. He's like, to where, you know, a lot of guys, they struggle transitioning from where they're being the guy. And he was like, man, Kobe, you know, everybody was like, oh my God, how'd you just win an Oscar? And his thing was like, y'all thought I just did this? Like, I've been working on certain things. I've been had this plan in place. I just transitioned, like, on the planes. I'm reading, I'm writing, I'm taking with guys who do this that I don't necessarily know about. They can create a vision for me, but I'm like trying to learn the craft. I'm putting that same work ethic I did on the court, and now I'm putting the same passion into my next project after sports.
Mm. That
was like, it's like, I'm like, oh, hype man for Kobe. Yo, he about to do this crazy thing. Oh, bam, you gone.
Gone.
And it's like, no, I just saw you. It's so weird, because it's like, I'm not getting anything from your Oscar. I was just so genuinely just happy for you because at the sports and what you were doing, you got your little girl. I was just happy for you.
Yes, man. Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, he was, he was on his way to, and I really believe he was going to be better and greater off the court than he was on. As hard as that is to believe, I truly believe he was going to just be onto some even just greater. But but in this tragedy, as tragic as it is, I truly believe it has brought everybody together and personally has made everybody kind of wake up in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not to get too spiritual, man, I know, you know, everybody's saying God doesn't make mistakes, you know, but this one was hard to take. But I don't question God, but I believe God has a plan, and his plan included using Kobe Bean to send a deeper message. And to use Gigi, because in her 13 years, look at what she was, a beautiful girl. She was the daddy's girl, and she was, you know, and everybody was saying, Kobe, have a boy. Kobe was like, I don't need no boy. I got somebody back right here, but Gigi's going to carry on the leg. So I just believe this moment is a time for all of us to just kind of chill and be still for a minute and really, really understand that we are only here for a minute, man. And we got to spread love. We got to do the best we can out here and just recognize how precious life is.
It's like you said, right? You appreciate those little things, right? And he was using Kobe to make us realize that, because now, when I look back at those videos of him and Gigi, I'd be like, oh my gosh, he looks just like him.
I know, he looks, right? looks just like him, man. I
never even looked at her before. I was just like, you know, that's Kobe, this fan, that's what's up. But now it just makes me like, yo, you take every moment, big or small, you embrace it. And it's solely off of when I look at those videos now, it'll be a 10, 15 second clip. And I'll look at it in awe, like, oh my gosh, he looks just like him.
Just like him.
And it like you said, man, it just makes you appreciate life.
Yes, it does. It's funny you say that. I was literally watching some clips. They were showing it before the games today. And I was looking at her different too. Like, she looked just like her daddy, man. Mm-hmm. She looked just like her dad, man. And it's just, you know, it's sad. It really is. But I don't want to dwell on the tragedy, and because the man lived, he was a beautiful spirit, beautiful soul, and so was she. And I hope we all just take what he represented and apply it to our own lives, man. So we just want to say RIP to Kobe Bean Bryant, Gigi Bryant, and the 7 other passengers that lost their lives in that helicopter crash. And God bless to their loved ones and friends. We send our deepest condolences to everyone. And again, you know, we love you, Kobe. You know, you touched us more than just hooping, man. And you will definitely, definitely live forever. And, you know, I don't know, Drew. I don't know what else we can say. This could be a 10-hour show.
Yeah, man, dear Kobe, we thank you, man.
Thank you, man. That's from the bottom of our hearts. So I'm Kate.
I'm Drew.
We'll catch y'all next time.